Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, brought to you by the Desai Group. The Desai Group, getting the real work of innovation done. Visit them on the web at desai.com, D-E-S-A-I.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here's your host, Stone Payton.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Stone Payton, your host for the High Velocity Radio Show. And joining me this morning is our producer and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. Back in America.
Back in America.
How's it feel?
Oh, it's wonderful.
To be in American soil again.
Yeah, you see the tan, right?
Kind of. You're dark beige now.
Well, we had a great time, man. We went sailing all through the Caribbean, dropped in on Belize, spent a little time in Sloppy Joe's down at Key West. So we're refreshed and ready to go.
You started in Key West and then went around?
Yeah, we went to Key West. They wouldn't let us go to Cozumel because of the swine flu. Yeah. So their answer, rather than allow us to disembark and get on an island where there are no confirmed cases of swine flu, they decided to keep us in a contained space with 800 staff that have been to Mexico, you know, a dozen
yesterday,
times.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
But the highlight of the trip was the snorkeling in Belize and the free rum on the way back.
What about the ping pong on the boat?
You know what? I played ping pong and I got spanked. I got eliminated. It was double elimination, lost the first two games. I was done.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
What, they had some ringers? Well, some Belizean ringers?
The sun was in my eyes. What can I tell you? Even though there was shade.
You're not used to the outdoor courts?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And they were all on an angle, you know, and
of
rocking.
Of course, yeah. And I'm sure a few cocktails.
So what'd you do in my absence?
Nothing. We just mourned your absence.
Right?
That's it.
Well, I did post a really pretty picture on the website. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No.
But I've got some other pictures, some of which we probably shouldn't put on the website. But
that's always a good plan.
I'll share them with you and our guest here in a little bit. And we do have a marvelous show for you this morning. In just a little while, we're going to hear from Eric Blumenthal with Count 5, who has an interesting product service called Q. And I had the pleasure of actually conducting an inno visit with this organization a few weeks ago. And I think you'll be really, really just every bit as enamored as I am with what they're doing and how they're doing it. They are solving a business problem that definitely needs to be addressed. But first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning is a gentleman by the name of Sanders McConnell with an organization called My HSA Rewards. So please join me in welcoming Sanders McConnell. Welcome to the show, Sanders.
Thanks for having me, Stone.
So what is My HSA Rewards? Tell us about that.
My HSA Rewards, first of all, the HSA stands for Health Savings Accounts. And very simply, it's a smart and simple way to save for your healthcare expenses by getting rewards from the merchants that we provide for you to buy your everyday items from.
And you set this money aside on your own, or your employer sets this aside, or how does that work?
Yeah, so first off, you have to have a health savings account. And in order to have a health savings account, you have to first have a high deductible health plan. And the whole theory is that the higher your deductible, the lower your monthly premiums, and you put the savings of those premiums into your health savings account. Where we come along is we help you supplement your contributions. So when you buy from our merchants, those merchants will then in turn give you cash rewards that will be funneled into your health savings account.
It's kind of like the points program.
Okay.
So like you're normally spending whatever you normally spend.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have this account, a My HSA Rewards account, then a portion of that just gets kicked back into your HSA fund.
Okay. And so when you say merchants, what kind of merchants are you talking about?
Well, right now we have over 300 of the top online merchants on the Internet, everything from Barnes & Noble to Sears to Target to Cutter & Buck, you know, what have you. It's quite extensive.
Well, I mean, that would certainly help my family. My 16-year-old is an avid reader, and so at Barnes & Noble, she could probably pay for all
right
of our health care.
Right. Now, how much can you fund your account with each year?
The government allows an individual to contribute up to $3,000 a year, a family up to $5,950. Of course, if you were to do all that through our program, you'd be a great spender.
Yeah, you'd have to spend a lot. But
we want you.
Do most people fund it fully if they have an HSA?
That's the thing, that people are not necessarily filling it funding it fully, and that's where we come in. We help them contribute more just from their everyday expenses.
And then what is an amount that people typically through this program, is it like a few hundred dollars that it ends up being at the end of the year during normal usage?
Yeah, it depends on you know how much you purchase, right? So it can be $300, $500 a year, which if you compare that to what the national average of contributions is, which is right around $1,000, we're helping you add an additional 30 to 50%
wow.
into your HSA.
Just for doing nothing different.
Just for doing nothing, buying what you normally buy.
Right.
And so how does it work if you fund it beyond how much you use it?
Well, you have the opportunity with our program is, say you fully fund it, you can save your rewards with us and just tell us January 1 of the following year to contribute it to your HSA so you don't have any over-contribution fees.
So you can just roll it over.
Just
these
roll
are rollover.
Exactly.
Yeah, like your minutes, right?
Just
that's
roll
right,
over
exactly.
to next year.
Very cool. So what's the political landscape around these kinds of programs? Is there a lot of energy for this? Is the new administration embracing this? Are they not happy about it? What's it like?
Yeah, that's a $1 million question right now, isn't it? And so what we believe is we've built our platform, our business, such that we can adapt to anything that happens that comes out of Washington. So we do believe that eventually in 5 to 10 years, most healthcare is going to be going to the individual, to the consumer. And so whatever program the government puts in place, it's probably going to be an account-based program, which means that we can address any account that comes out of Washington. That being said, HSAs are not going to go away. However, there aren't really a whole lot of friends from the Democratic side. Of HSA. So they're not going to really promote it, but at the same time, they're not going to get rid of them.
And your customer is the end user, or is your customer the employer? How does that piece work?
Yeah, first off, it's free to join up for the consumers, and it's free for an employer to just add a link to their human resources site and offer it up to their employees. And so it's free to the employees, and it's free to the employers.
And so are there any misconceptions or misunderstandings about this whole program? Because obviously it's something that we don't know very much about at this point. Are there some misconceptions out there that need to be cleared up?
Well, first off, we're brand new, and we're first to market in this niche.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're brand new. We just released the website about a month ago, and you're getting ready to see some press releases. We have made a major marketing relationship with a bank that we'll be announcing in about a month. And so we're very excited about that. That would be a nationwide release.
But your biggest challenge is just to communicate to people to get HSAs, right? Isn't that?
That's right. That's right.
Really the hardest part, to move people to start using HSAs.
That's right. So one of the things that we've done this past year is created a website called HSAeducator.com. And that's where an individual can go to learn more about HSAs and why they're beneficial for you individually, especially from a tax advantage, because it's a triple tax advantage account, where the contributions that you put to an HSA are tax-deductible to the individual, and they grow tax-free and withdrawn tax-free if used for eligible medical expenses. So in effect, the cash rewards that you earn through our program are tax-deductible to you because it's a contribution, which means we're the only rewards program out there where it's a tax-deductible reward.
Wow.
And if you're terminally unemployable like me and you have to run your own business, so I'm in business for myself, I can go and get an HSA. I don't have to work through anybody. I can talk with someone in your organization, or you can direct me to people that can help me set up an
right,
HSA.
Right, because you're not an HSA company. You sit on top of the HSA of the individual, right?
That's right. We actually live outside of the health savings account. What you would have to do first, Stone, is to get with a health insurance broker that understands HSAs and can explain it to you well. And first, you have to have a high-deductible health plan, which allows you then to open up an HSA. And then we live outside of the health savings account. We're not the debit card that you can attach to a health savings account to pay for your medical expenses. We're not that. We're actually a program that helps feed your HSA.
And do you have like a network of brokers that you recommend or can put people in touch with, or how does that part work?
Yeah, we do have some individuals here in Georgia that we could recommend to you, and as well throughout the nation. But you just reach out to us. You can write info@hsaeducator.com.
And if my broker's not mentioning HSAs when I get together with him every 6 months or every year, I need to be asking him, right?
Need to be asking him about it. And you can also go to ehealthinsurance.com. They do a really good job of explaining it as well.
Now, what if I get my insurance because my wife has a great job and she has insurance? Is she still eligible to do the HSA, and am I?
Well, more and more employers are starting to offer HSA, so she may have the opportunity at her position at her company that she can do that. If you're separate from her policy, then you can go out and get your own.
Right, but what if I'm part of her policy?
If she takes on that option when it's offered to her, say at their next enrollment, usually around October, then yeah.
It's something that, but is that something that more and more larger companies are offering now?
Absolutely. 69% of all large corporations are going to be offering it this year, starting 2009.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's a big number.
It is.
So give us a little bit of marketing advice. I think this is a relatively new venture for you and your team. How are beyond getting on, you know, highly visible radio shows like this one?
Right.
How do you go to market? How do you sell what you're selling here?
Our first target is to create strategic partnerships with companies that have large databases of HSAs. So, for example, banks, health insurance companies, third-party administrators, which are the stop-loss carriers for large corporations that fully fund their plans. Separate from that is also educating the health insurance brokers, because they're the ones that are sitting face-to-face with their clients, and they're mm-hmm. the ones that need to introduce this to them, and we do have a way of compensating them for that.
And then it becomes seamless as part of when they're selling it, they go, oh, this comes with it, right?
Exactly.
That's what you want to move it to.
And one of the big advantages that we have out of the gate is that we are ubiquitous with whatever health insurance company is out there or bank. So, for example, we don't care if you get your health insurance from United or Blue Cross or Aetna or Cigna. We don't care where you get that from. We also don't care where you actually have your HSA. So it could be at Wachovia, it could be at HSA Bank, what have you. So that makes it very easy for the individual to sign up for us.
And what do they do to sign up? So once they have that account number, then they can go to your website, is that right?
That's right. Once they set up their health savings account, then they can come to our site. And enter that particular account number, which will be fully encrypted. We actually won't know what it is. But then once they reach $50 in cash rewards, then they can click a button on our site. They will send those cash rewards directly to their health savings account.
And then if they were to, say, use Barnes & Noble, for example, like say they were going to get a $500 gift card at Barnes & Noble, then they would go to your site first and then go to Barnes & Noble?
That's correct. So it's a great program in that whatever specials Barnes & Noble is having that day, you get those specials, but you also get an additional percentage through our program. And mm-hmm. I think right now with Barnes & Noble, it's an additional 3%. Mm-hmm. So if you spent, you know, $500 at Barnes & Noble, you'd make, you know, another $15. It goes straight into your health savings.
It goes right into the account.
Are you working with any beer companies?
Yeah, that's what Stone
or rum, you know,
any liquor distributor.
No, but you know, it's interesting. We are really wanting to partner up with grocery stores because we are looking for merchants or service providers that help individuals to live a healthier lifestyle.
Right.
Because wellness programs, as you are probably aware, are very popular with corporations now.
Oh yeah.
But that's within inside the employer setting. We actually live outside of the employer setting, so we help bring rewards to individuals to live a healthier lifestyle, to get them off the couch, get them out bicycle riding, and so you can get bicycle through Dick's Sporting Goods, which is one of our vendors, and also the grocery stores. So, you know, our hope is to be able to get with grocery stores that would provide greater rewards for an individual going through the produce aisle versus the potato chip aisle. So to help guide them through a healthier lifestyle.
And so what's in it for me as a vendor? Talk to me, because that's a customer or a prospect of yours as well, yes?
Absolutely. So what we've really done is we have built a conduit for corporations to help individuals pay for their health care just by simply having those individuals shop with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. So corporations who want to help individuals pay for their health care, this is a natural fit for them.
And so I'm giving up, I guess my advertising cost is I'm giving up a little bit of margin.
That's right.
As a vendor?
That's right. They pay us to bring them new customers, and then not only that, we continually bring that same customer back to them because it is a loyalty program.
And so from a marketing standpoint, you have your vendors that you need to educate and help them understand, which that seems like a very straightforward value proposition.
It's almost a no-brainer for them.
You've got your consumer, end-user consumer, that you need to educate, and then you have your employer that you need to educate and help them understand the value proposition. And then you've got the broker. You've got to consistently capture and maintain their mind share.
That's right.
Yeah, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, we are.
A lot of marketing in your world.
That's right. That's why we've done the best we could with our website to kind of capture all of that. When someone visits our site, make sure you listen to Erin, our spokesperson, and the video on there. She does a fantastic job explaining the program. And it's really a no-brainer for an individual who has a health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you buy through our program to help contribute to your health savings account and take those tax deductions? And from a merchant standpoint, think of the PR that we'll be able to provide for them. You know, shop with XYZ, and they'll help you pay for your health care. They'll help you pay your medical bills. You know, it's pretty good. And with the brokers, once again, we have incentives for them to share our program as well.
Well, I'm sold.
Yeah.
So as our listeners want to learn more, get in touch with you and continue to try to find a way to benefit from this program, what's the best way for them to do that?
Go straight to our website at myhsarewards.com. And there's a form that you can fill out for any from a merchant, from a user standpoint, and from a broker standpoint. You can fill out a form, and we'll contact you immediately after you submit it. As well as we have a phone number, 404-551-5543.
MyHSArewards.com. And one more time with the phone number?
404-551-5543.
Well, Sanders, thanks so much for being on the show today and sharing all of that with us. We're about out of time, but before we let you go, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show where we ask each guest to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career and really, more importantly, what they've learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Sure. I remember I had my first job waiting for me when I graduated from college, and it was a sales position, and I was doing lots of traveling. I spent the first 32 weeks of a year traveling, and I did that for about 3 years, and then one of the vice presidents of that company left to go work with another company. And he was able to entice me away for a measly extra $4,000 a year. And being young, you know, I saw dollars. But at that time, you know, it's nothing. You look back on it now, it was nothing. It wasn't worth the enticement to lose the training I was getting from an excellent, excellent individual. His name was Frank Isley. And I was his protege. He was teaching me fantastic information about sales and distribution, and was hired away for a measly $4,000. And I wish I had never done that.
The grass isn't always greener,
is
it?
It's not always greener,
no. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Sanders McConnell with MyHSArewards.com.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show, I'm delighted to share with you a gentleman by the name of Eric Blumenthal. He's with Count 5. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you for having me, Stone.
So tell us about Count 5. What are you out there doing for folks?
Well, I'll give you the short and the longer version. Short version is we make sales, service, and other employees smarter, faster. And we do it more predictably and with less resources than a lot of companies' alternatives. Longer answer, we're a software company that helps improve the benefits of company change initiatives and sales initiatives. No change is close to your heart.
Yeah.
Still. And by accelerating the workforce's adoption with change. So we work with companies either due to the nature of their industry or due to the economy or accelerated growth, organic or M&A, that experience a lot of change and are trying to push those relevant changes to their frontline employees, but are still struggling with a predictable and quantifiable approach to driving adoption long term. So ultimately, it's about changing behaviors, and we're fixing what's broken with corporate training and communications.
So what kind of companies are you finding yourselves working with right now?
Well, we're an emerging but profitable software company, and if you look at my original business plan, every prediction that I made is false. So
imagine that.
You should save that for your return to learning section later on.
Right.
I've got so many mistakes. That inventory is very high. The I thought all of our early adopters would either be technology companies, because that's what my background is, or small, mid-sized companies. Most of our customers are actually large organizations with large field sales and service operations. So locally, our customers are companies like Coca-Cola, Aeris, which is a big manufacturer to the cable industry, CBeyond, which is a large managed services provider. Outside of Atlanta, you know, companies like Cigna Healthcare. So pretty much across the board, a lot of different vertical markets, but all of them have, you know, a lot of distortion out in the field, and they're trying to get everyone on the same page.
Can you, I'm still unclear exactly how this affects people. You know, we've talked kind of in a general standpoint, but can you kind of walk us through a scenario, like a company, what is the pain the company's having, and then what exactly do you do to kind of make that pain go away?
Sure. Actually, our very first customer was a Fortune 500 real estate transaction services company, which is a glorified term for, you know, title and flood insurance mm-hmm. and appraisal and credit right. products, that sort of thing. And they were integrating five acquisitions that they had made. And they so obviously all these very tenured salespeople that were selling just one product for the last 8-10 years now had to sell a portfolio of solutions. So there's a tremendous amount of change. And, you know, they did, I was actually allowed to participate in their change approach, which be a fly on the wall. And it was very stereotypical. You could almost predict it. It was fly everybody to Orange County, California. Everyone stayed at the Marriott, 3 days of death by PowerPoint, three nights of drinking beer till 3 a.m. So you weren't even conscious for the death by PowerPoint. And three ring binders, everything lobbed in the sales portal, which is, you know, the 21st century of the three version of the three ring binder. And all of a sudden, and I forgot, two e-learning courses. So all this information delivered over a short period of time.
And then they say go, and they say go.
Change has occurred.
We're done. We've done our part, right?
We've checked the boxes, correct. Right. And so when we went to market, we didn't want to replace those efforts because those efforts still have value, but they don't have sustainability. They don't allow employees to change their behavior.
So they can't be compliant in those changes, right, in reality?
Yeah, reality is that people forget almost everything they've been exposed to
as soon as they're on
the
plane
first week.
Back, right.
And then when they get an opportunity to apply those changes, they're dealing with the 10% that they remember. So there's a tremendous amount of distortion, and what's coming out of someone's mouth in New York is very different.
Now, what's your solution, and how does it improve this kind of experience you described?
Well, we're a communications channel that is above the noise of email. And it is a push channel. So what Q does, and Q is the name of the product, it lets companies break down information into bite-sized pieces and deliver that in a very methodic way directly to the user's desktop, laptop, and soon to be mobile devices, where we're basically spoon-feeding information and reinforcement frequently to the consumers, and we are quantifying not only their participation, so management knows that they're participating in these things, but we're also quantifying, you know, how well they understand it, so management knows if there's some misalignment, they know where the gaps are.
Now, what would be an example of one of these spoon-fed little tidbits you're going to share? Like, I guess on a daily basis you do this, or a regular basis?
You know, the frequency and duration is entirely up to our customer, and it depends on how big and relevant right. the change initiative is. So sometimes it's a short little sound bite, you know, and other times it lasts weeks or months. But the premise behind our technologies is leveraging the front half of the human attention span frequently. So typically 2 or 3 times a week, we're going to spend 5 to 10 minutes of FaceTime with the employees. So we're able to blend this discipline into daily and weekly workflow, but still let people do their jobs and not unnecessarily.
So like a YouTube video pops up and you're going to be telling me something? Is that what happens?
It's a series of telling. It's a series of asking. It's a series of teaching. So as an example, imagine a Q icon in their task tray, kind of like an instant messaging
right.
icon. Day in the life of a salesperson, they get an on-screen notification that is from our software. They click on it. It launches a browser. And it's going to spend 5 minutes. It might be delivering a video, might be delivering some audio, might be delivering just traditional, you know, text and graphical content. But through a mechanism of Q&A, we practice their retrieval skills. So we're going to ask them on any given day, we'll ask them two or three questions about, you know, product strategy, messaging, give them a scenario, what have you, where there's right and wrong answers. And if they understand it, we go hip, hip, hooray, and we get out of their face and let them do their job. And if right. they don't get it, we'll spend a minute teaching them what the right answer is and why. And we actually prescribe an individualized reinforcement based on the gaps we've identified.
That's great. No, that's a fantastic way of getting the information out, and then it forces the person to be compliant because they've probably been mandated that they have to participate, right?
And that's that drives a lot of our business is the compliance side of it, not compliance in that, you know, financial services, Sarbanes-Oxley type mm-hmm. of way, but, you know, email. Stone was talking before the radio show that, you know, email at its best has about a 5 to 10% participation rate. Our customers experience 95% to 100%
ongoing completion. Right, well, it has to be, right? Because they're told that they have to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not coming through email. What you were describing to him, it was a totally different delivery system than email
right.
to begin with, right? Right.
Yeah, and actually we've got 7,000 active users. It should be 15 to 20 by the end of the year with our existing base of customers, and we're deployed in 20 countries. And of those users, about 400 of them, we actually do deliver via email, and it's mm-hmm. the difference between 95% ongoing participation and completion and 10 to 20.
Wow.
Yeah. So that shows how important it is to bypass email if you're going to try to deliver this kind of a service.
Yeah. And we modeled it after my bad behavior as a salesperson. So I was that guy that, you know, was forecasting $3 million to close in the next 2 weeks, and they'd look into the Salesforce.com, and there were no notes. The account right. didn't even exist. And if I hadn't closed them, they probably would have fired me a long time ago. But salespeople, and actually employees in general, just have an innate ability to measure the value-to-burden ratio. Do I get mm-hmm. value out of using this technology or filling out this report? And what is, you know, based on the burden that we apply? And what we've been told is we have a very high value to burden. We help people remember more when they're doing their job and customer facing, and we don't pull them out of pocket for more than 5 minutes at a time.
And there's a tracking aspect to this that management or the training department or whoever the interested parties are can evaluate and look and make some decisions about, right?
Absolutely. And when I was a VP of sales and selling a lot of other things to senior executives, this is a sentence that never comes out of a VP of sales mouth. Where's that training report? You know, it's just, you know, you don't hear that. But what we're seeing is management using actively our reports, and we show at an executive level, we'll show aggregate trends by team, by region, by department, by initiative, and at a frontline level, we're helping managers know who to coach and why.
And then you can show them the results that, look, this person isn't being compliant or they're failing these tests, and look at their results.
Yeah.
So you can document these things.
Absolutely. In fact, that one example I was giving you, the financial services / insurance company, they deployed our technology, and on day three of the deployment, 80% of the sales force got a very significant go-to-market strategy question wrong. And it freaked everybody out. Now, Q's part of the remedy because we taught them what the right answer was when they got it wrong, and we redeploy some additional reinforcement based on that. But what it caused them to do is literally take action. And so they made sure that sales meetings, conference calls, webinars were all focusing on the foundational elements, because they just figured everyone got it, and what they realized very quickly is they didn't.
Well, and when that many don't get it, it's not their fault. It's something that we need to go right. back as management and retool. Absolutely.
Correct.
Well, I'm always interested in the marketing aspect of this. How are you reaching the Coca-Colas and the Cignas and the Aeris? How are you going to market? What is it that gets people to pull the trigger and say, okay, I'm going to do this thing?
Well, we're a self-funded company, so we didn't take on any external investment capital. So not starting off with a $500,000 marketing budget, we had to get really creative. And one of the creative ways was, I think you've been to the site funnysalescartoons.com.
Yeah.
We have created a series of cartoons that poke fun of the problems we solve, and we registered the URL. And I wish I was as good. That site gets more traffic than our corporate site.
But, of course.
But what it does also is it helps support our brand and messaging, and it is our number one referral click-through site to our corporate site, more so than any click marketing or any other effort we've done. So it's been a lot of fun. The other way is we've been leveraging social networking tremendous amount. So we have a group on LinkedIn called Sales Training Best Practices that has over 1,000 members. That's pretty active.
Nice.
And also, as of February, I forced myself at gunpoint to figure out what Twitter was and how I can get value from it. And I am a very active Twitter user. We have over 1,600 followers right now. And we've actually been able to monetize that effort as well. We've got a number of sales cycles in place as a result of those efforts.
Really? Well, that's encouraging to hear, because I think almost every interview that we have, at some point in the conversation, there's a question or an issue around this whole idea of social media.
Right.
But you're really getting some return. Is there anything in particular you feel like maybe you're doing with these communities or with Twitter or LinkedIn that...
You're not the guy that's telling me that I can get 16,000 followers.
Right. Is that how, that's not your
that's
thing?
That's not you.
60, no, 20. That's me. I started following a lot of people on Twitter, and very quickly you start learning that you really have to just be transparent, and you have to be providing value. So the people that are tweeting every hour, buy from me, here's the link, buy from me, here's the link, you learn very quickly to stop following those folks. What I realized is that I just want to provide value, and that value doesn't always have to come from Count 5 or my brain or lead them to our website. So on a consistent basis, we're just a distribution hub of valuable sales and marketing content that we find on the web through our other relationships.
And so people find genuine value in following
you.
It's
that's the magic to all of the social media. I think that's it, right on the nose.
Yeah. So what's next for Count 5?
What's next
count
for
six,
Count 5?
Right?
Count 6. There you go.
It's the next logical progression, I think. Next for Count 5, we're very excited. A couple quick stats, actually. We had 100% customer renewal this year, which for a software
100%.
As a service. And in this economy,
wow.
I was a little panicked turning the corner in January 1st because all of our customers' contracts renewed between January and April. And all of them renewed, and half of them expanded their commitment. So that was pretty
So what are you
nice.
Going to do to improve that for next year?
We're going to try to go for 110%.
You're bringing in maybe a professional athlete to help you get to that 110%.
Exactly. The next thing that we're introducing over the next quarter is what drives a lot of our sales. We're providing upper management with metrics that they've never had before that help them manage more proactively. But we're also handling things at the execution level to make people understand more stuff and be better employees. We're going to apply that same philosophy towards coaching and leadership. So being able to quantify not only all the coaching activity and trends going on with frontline, but also quantify the impact that they have.
And so will the product have kind of a Q flavor to it, or will it be a different product, or just...
It'll be an enhancement. We haven't quite decided whether or not it's going to be a billable enhancement or just something that adds more value to the existing platform, but it's leveraging, 70% of what we did already with the platform, so just a kind of a natural progression for us.
Well, with things as going as well as they are for you, and me being an external consultant, I'd like to jump in and, mix them up a little bit. But no, really, I was wondering, do you have any intention at all of maybe taking this Q product to the consulting and training vendor market and, private labeling it or doing anything so that an Accenture, a Blessing White, someone like that might go into an end user and say, and oh, by the way, we use Q.
Yes. That's the short answer. The radio-friendly answer would be that we have. We actually have that in place with a couple of small boutique training organizations and consulting companies trying to tweak the model, make sure it works well before we spin cycles on the big boys.
Well, I don't know that anybody here actually wants to go to your real website, but let's make sure we get the website, the URL for the cartoons. What was that again?
It's www.funnysalescartoons.com. It's got plenty of links to the Count 5 site, so if that's what they remember, that's fine with me.
How do we get in touch with you? How do our listeners find out more about Count 5?
They can go to our website, which is count5.com, and that's C-O-U-N-T, the number 5.com, or they can call 404-961-7350 and extension 1 for sales.
Or call Eric's cell phone during dinner and
Yeah, and there's my home number. You know, we've got a park across the street from our house. You know, you can hang out. We'll barbecue.
Hey, listen, before we let you go, you heard us a little while ago with our first guest. Ask him to share a mistake that he's made somewhere in his career. I'm sure you haven't made quite as many as he has, but can you dig deep and find a mistake that you've made somewhere in your career and what you learned from it for us?
I've been struggling with this. This is the only thing you fed me ahead of time, and it's the only thing that I've just been banging my head against the wall because I've made so many mistakes that it's hard to isolate one. So I guess the better answer is a philosophy around mistakes. To me, if you're not failing on a weekly basis, you're not trying hard enough. And that's the only way to push the envelope and grow and learn, because you don't learn based on doing things right. You learn based on making mistakes. That's the only way you grow.
It's sound wisdom, and it certainly makes me feel a lot better about my track record, Lee.
That's it. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. It was an absolute delight having you on the show, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Absolutely.
Until next week, this is Stone Payton, Eric Blumenthal, Sanders McConnell, and Lee Cantor, and the entire Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.